The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me, so I'm telling you, don't be fooled. The real Eric's in jail.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. We're talking to our friend John Zmirak. And John, once again, you've written an article at stream.org. I put it on all of my social media because I want as many people as possible to read it, to print it out, to forward it, to share it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a role in spreading the truth. I say this all the time, but I'm going to be much more of a badgerer about it. You have a job to do to share these things. If we don't begin to share with our fellow Americans, I mean, there are plenty of people that are not really It's not that they're against us. It's just that they're doing nothing. They kind of act like, well, everything's sort of fine.
Right.
Well, we need to get them to understand, things are not fine. And the reason things are not fine is because you're sitting on your rear end and not even paying attention.
That's right.
And not doing anything about
it. I want to be the rabid Yorkie.
The rabid Yorkie to let you know the wolf is at the door. That's beautiful, John.
Beautiful. I'm a poet, and I don't even know it. All right, so we're going back. The American founders were students of classical Roman history and of the Bible and of English history. And also students of Machiavelli. They had all read Machiavelli. They didn't see him as an instructional manual. They saw him as a warning. They knew Western history. They knew the doctrine of original sin. More than 90% of the American founders were Orthodox Christians. There were just a couple of deists floating around. It's a myth propagated by the ACLU that America was founded by deists. America was founded mostly by Calvinists. It was founded by Presbyterians, by people who believed in St. Augustine's doctrine of original sin. That is, they were skeptical of human nature, suspicious of people with power.
You know what that's called? That's called being wise.
Yes.
They had genuine wisdom. They understood history to such a great extent that they could, with wisdom, look at how things went wrong again and again and again, and what ways it might be possible to cut against this and to create a republic where people govern themselves. So we have to be very clear what an anomaly this was in history. Many, many things led to it, but it finally happened.
That's right. So when the founders first decided that Britain was imposing a tyranny on them, they started spreading the word and getting people activated and getting people angry. And they created the First Continental Congress, and they started collecting guns and gunpowder and cannons. And in 1775, the battles of Lexington and Concord were all about the government trying to take guns away from the people.
Okay, hang on. Let's be clear in case anybody's not tracking, folks. All right. You can read about this in my book. If you can keep it. But what John just said, the battles of Lexington and Concord, April 1775, the British were marching to Lexington and Concord to take away the guns. Let's not forget about that. I usually do forget about that, John. So I'm really glad you framed it this way.
Every government attempt to ban guns, we should treat as like Lexington and Concord, every last one. The time to use your guns is on the people trying to come take them away, because guess what? That's your last chance. The American colonists knew this. Well, they successfully fought the Revolutionary War. and they set up the Articles of Confederation were the first system of government. It was actually too weak. Then they convened a constitutional convention, and they set up our system of government, which people like James Madison, Kraft, and Alexander Hamilton, you know, we have the Federalist Papers that chronicle how it was worked out. They developed our system of government based on a careful study of where historical regimes had gone wrong, where monarchies had gone wrong, where democracies had gone wrong. And they purposely set up a government that would frustrate itself, that would trip over its own feet, where the president pulled against the Congress and pulled against the courts. They were, in modern terms, paranoid about the abuse of power. They set up each system, each branch of government to frustrate the other two so that they would be in tension at all times so that nobody could become a dictator.
And John, by the way, we have to again say what they pulled off is so magnificent. It is hard not to believe that God's hand was in it, because in when you look at the sweep of history, this was never supposed to happen. This is not something that really ought ever to have happened. The idea that they pulled it off, no one was more astonished and aware of it than Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, again, I write about him in my book, If You Can Keep It, but Lincoln really understood that what the founders had done and what we had in this country was just so extraordinary that the only way that it could be destroyed would be from within, which is, of course, where the attacks have come from and where they're coming from today. So eventually you and I want to go through them, because right. In the article,
let's
you mentioned them.
Now.
Go ahead.
Yeah. OK. So, yes, we had the system of government set up with the three branches struggle against each other, and the federal government struggles against the state government. They're all in tension together. It's this Rube Goldberg apparatus set up intentionally to restrict the power of the state over individual Americans and their families and their churches. A magnificent, rare, almost unique historical creation. The only precedents are things like Switzerland. And immediately, of course, fallen human nature starts to chafe against it. Corrupt elites start to try to frustrate and corrupt and pervert the system. But the slave power between like 1830 and 1860, the slave-owning elites of the South were the first, I think, arguably the first elite conspiracy to corrupt the political system. They used their power in the Senate to frustrate all progress in terms of settling the West, unless they could spread slavery and spread slavery further and further west, even though slavery was meant to die out. It was supposed to die out. Jefferson, Washington all thought it was an institution that would wither away. The slave power, the wealthiest elites of the Southern states who owned vast plantations worked by slaves, they insisted on extending slavery further and further to the West. They wanted it in California. And as we saw during the Civil War, they wanted to capture Cuba and conquer Mexico and reintroduce slavery. They wanted to go down to Brazil. They wanted a huge slave empire. So we had the elites of the South basically fooled the people of the Southern states into seceding from the Union, and we had a civil war. The next great elite conspiracy was the progressive movement around the turn of the 20th century. People like Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was an academic at Princeton, writing books about how the Constitution was outdated and useless, how we learned from Darwin and Nietzsche and German secular philosophy that restrictions on the power of the state were counterproductive. Our Constitution was like a creaky old horse and buggy from 1776, and we needed to get rid of it and replace it with a steam train that would go forward and forcibly change the American people to suit the ideas of its elites. Woodrow Wilson maneuvered us into the First World War, which we should never have been in, and used the First World War as a pretext to introduce the income tax, to put his political opponents in prison. Do you know, during the First World War, if you came out and said, I don't think we should be in this war, you would go to prison for years.
I've never heard that.
The biggest labor leader in America Eugene Debs, was in prison for years for opposing the First World War. Not only that, they started wiping out, they wouldn't allow German to be taught in the schools. They started closing German restaurants and German cultural clubs. It was a totalitarian move in America during World War I with the frenzy of war and patriotism whipped up. President Woodrow Wilson had his attorney general raiding political meetings.
Excuse me, we've got plenty of time left with John Zmirak. Folks, we'll be right back. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Folks, welcome back. Talking to John Zmirak about his article at stream.org, which I put all over my social media, and I hope you will share. This is very important information. We need to understand how our government is supposed to work on the founders' vision and how elites have, through the decades, through the centuries now, been trying to undo it. We're dealing with that now. And John, you're giving us the history. You just mentioned Woodrow Wilson and the progressives trying to undo the founders' vision. Folks, this is over 100 years ago.
They saw the Constitution as this relic, this old creaky thing that got in the way of the best people using the power of the federal government to improve the American people. Improve the people, for instance, through eugenics laws. In the 1920s, people like Margaret Sanger promoted eugenics laws that forcibly sterilized more than 60,000 Americans for failing culturally biased IQ tests written by WASPs. So Italian and Jewish immigrants would come in and they'd be given IQ tests that were written by people who went to Groton and Choate. And they wouldn't know what some of the words meant because, you know, they were referring to like, oh, your tea cozy and your croquet mallet. And they didn't know what these things were. So they failed the IQ tests. And of course, lots of Black Americans failed those biased IQ tests, and 60,000 of them were forcibly sterilized by the government. The last ones were sterilized in the 1960s under eugenics laws. Margaret Sanger proposed the American Baby Code in 1934 to be part of the New Deal, that every American couple who wanted to have children would have to apply for a license from the federal government for each child they wanted to have. This impulse to have of corrupt, arrogant elites trying to control the lives of ordinary Americans. This goes way back, and our system of government was set up to frustrate it. But each time we had a crisis, each time we had a war, that was another excuse for the federal government to grab more power. During World War II, the whole economy was militarized. Everything was organized for the war effort. But they didn't strip all that back after the war. You still had the massive bureaucracy, and you had the deep state. You had the CIA was created. The FBI was enlarged. Now, this is a quote from somebody you and I usually like, William F. Buckley Jr. He spent time in the CIA. He had been at Yale. He'd been in Skull and Bones. He went into the CIA, which was full of Yaleys and Bonesmen. And then he founded National Review. Well, one thing he said in the early 50s really shocked me when I read it. He said, in order to fight the totalitarian system of communism, we may have to accept something like a totalitarian system here in America in order to defeat communism. Yeah.
Now, I can't believe that Buckley said that. That's horrifying.
It's a real quote.
And again, folks, when you're talking about human beings like William F. Buckley, we can't deify these people. Some of our greatest heroes, Martin Luther among them, were quite flawed. I'm saying in my case, because I wrote a biography of him, you realize what we're concerned with here is the truth, what is right and true. And not everybody gets it right all the time. So it's interesting to me that somebody...
Even the Habsburgs weren't perfect, I have.
So, inside joke. Okay, so John, when you're talking...
Let's continue. The CIA was created to stop communism, but it ended up spying on Americans, wiretapping their phones, experimenting in mind control. Those of you who've heard of MKUltra, they would take college students and they would say, you want to be in an experiment? You want to make some money? We just want you to fill out this survey. Here, have a drink of water. And there was LSD in the water. The Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, went crazy because he was a subject in one of those mind control experiments. That's where he went off the rails, because he was given LSD without his knowledge. Imagine getting an LSD trip without even knowing that you were...
I just want to say that, you know, folks, again, what we're talking about, this is true, and we are responsible for this information. It's a lot of this stuff is finally coming out in a way that we can all process. Thanks to Tucker Carlson talking about it last Friday. John has written about it at stream.org. But it's vital we understand this. And John, when you talk about this larger narrative, I don't remember in the article if you mention J. Edgar Hoover creating the FBI.
Well, the FBI was created largely to deal with the side effects of prohibition. Prohibition, another attempt by elites to control the behavior of ordinary Americans. The same people who wanted to control whether or not you have children through eugenics also wanted to stop you from having a drink at the end of the day because they knew better. They wanted to set up public schools intended to cure children, to cure them of their parents' religion, to take Catholic immigrants and turn them into liberal Protestants, to take fundamentalist conservative evangelicals and turn them into liberal Protestants.
Excuse me, when we say liberal Protestants, we mean secular cultural elites, people who do not believe in the Nicene Creed and the bodily resurrection and all that kooky stuff that goes along with being an actual Christian.
Right. They wanted to turn them into post-Christian liberal elites. And if you read Harvey Mann, one of the creators, Horace Mann, one of the founders of the American public school system, he's quite explicit about that. We must save children from their parents because their parents are reactionaries, they're dogmatists. We have to introduce science, Darwin, progress, evolution. It's our job to save kids from their own.
I mean, you know what's
parents.
So funny, John, is that even if you agreed with Horace Mann on the issues, right? Once someone says, not we need to convince the parents so that they will raise their children right, but that we need to divide the children from their parents, that's the moment the bells go off. And you say, wait a second. We can disagree on things in America, but you're not talking about convincing adults. You are now talking about forgetting about those adults and working with their own children, which, of course, is what we're seeing increasingly right now.
Of course, leftists don't have children. They're parasitical. They have to corrupt and groom and
whether they have children or not, the point is they're against the idea of the family and against these basic ideas. So we know. Right. But I'm saying that even if they have children, the point is they really don't believe in the concept of family. They're talking about power. And if you don't believe in the concept of family, why not destroy the family if it helps you gain power? So go ahead.
Yeah. But also statistically, secularists don't have children. They have to corrupt and pervert our children.
Correct.
Okay. So you have the CIA doing mind control experiments on Americans, assassinating Americans, tapping their phones. Come around to the 1970s, the Church Committee exposes all this. And there's testimony in Congress, and they put all sorts of restrictions on the CIA. They cut it off from the FBI and the NSA. They try to put some control on the deep state. 9/11 happens, and immediately, we were hobbling our intelligence agencies. We were crippling them. We were blinding them. We have to pass the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act removes all those protections against the deep state and basically makes the deep state the fourth branch of government, not accountable to the other three, and in fact, supreme over them.
Okay, and I want to remind my audience that I was totally guilty, totally suckered in by George W. Bush at the time. I remember I had lunch with a crazy friend named John Zmirak who tried to help me understand this, but I was too stupid to understand this. And all these years later, I wake up as if from a dream and I realized, my Lord, John was right. And what's really interesting to me, John, and again, the good news is that people like me are waking up and repenting of our foolishness. But what's interesting to me is that somebody who was on the left, like Naomi Wolf, she was talking about this at the same time you were talking about it from the right, so to speak. She was warning about it from the left, understanding that what George W. Bush was trying to do was unconstitutional. It was a bad idea. And son of a gun, here we are.
And then the Obama administration, okay, first of all, in 2006, I was writing, don't give George W. Bush any power. You don't want Hillary Clinton to have in 2 years. Sure enough, Obama wins the election after John McCain basically throws it. And then Obama and John Brennan and Eric Holder, they weaponize the intelligence community and the deep state against conservatives and against Christians. And they turn the FBI and the CIA and the NSA into a East German style Stasi, a Russian style KGB. And then by the time Donald Trump gets elected, it's so powerful, the president of the United States can't control it. We are right now in a position where not the president, not the courts, not the Congress. Nobody can control the deep state. Nobody. The only solution is to cut off all its funding, to close these agencies and start from scratch.
But we have to understand what it is that we're up against. Ladies and gentlemen, this gets back to my conversation with Naomi Wolf from last week. We are up against satanic powers and principalities. This is not a political battle. This is good versus evil. This is serious. We need to understand how to fight the battle. We cannot do it in the flesh. We'll be right back.
I've learned to live without going by some different name. Big, bright, shiny, yellow sun.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98. And get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com. Folks, talking to John Zmirek. John, we're talking about important stuff, but it gives me joy that we are talking about this. It gives me joy that Tucker Carlson is reporting on this. It gives me joy that you're writing about this and that I can talk about it with you on this program. It gives me joy that my friend Roger Stone talks about this and has written about this. I was mentioning to you that on the very day that Tucker Carlson was talking about this last Friday on his program, I was reading Roger Stone's book, which he and I will discuss on this program, about the JFK assassination and the depth of evil. I mean, everything you're talking about here was in place then. The CIA, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, the unbelievable corruption of LBJ. I mean, it's a staggering thing. And we cannot forget the power of the mafia and moneyed interests, everything arrayed against the presidency of JFK. And it seems obvious that when somebody says, you know what, I think I'd like to do something about these problems, they are a marked man in the way that Donald Trump has been since the day he rode down the escalator. So it all comes back.
One of the really interesting things Tucker Carlson talked about was Nixon. Nixon was the most popular president in American history. A few low-level underlings did the Watergate break-in, and a lot of them were tied to the CIA. They've been involved with the Bay of Pigs. They basically set up the Nixon administration and implicated them in these petty crimes, and then Nixon foolishly covered them up. Nothing Nixon did with Watergate came anywhere close to what the FBI did to Martin Luther King Jr. while Kennedy was president. The FBI got audio tape and proof that Martin Luther King was cheating on his wife and with a lot of different women and sent him letters urging him to commit suicide. FBI urging Martin Luther King, commit suicide or we're going to expose your adultery.
Nice guys.
Under LBJ, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was a lie. They cooked up a lie to get us into the Vietnam War. They made it up that North Vietnamese had shot at American ships. It wasn't even true. Johnson knew it was a lie, went before Congress and said it, and got authorization to forcibly draft hundreds of thousands of Americans and send them to fight all the way across the world.
I mean, actually, John, when you talk about this, right, when I was reading Roger's book, I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of this history that I'm so spotty on. And so when I'm finally looking a little more closely and realizing like, oh, my goodness, LBJ really, really, really made the war in Vietnam the nightmare that it was. He did it in large part to placate moneyed interests, people who were making money off of the helicopters and off of the. And when you see it, it's like some liberal fantasy. You know, you think like, oh, Halliburton, whatever. And then you realize, yeah, except here's the problem. It's true. It is as evil as it gets. And by going through the history with you, and we'll do it, you know, again and again,
well, here's
we're helping people understand how all of this happened. And we've been blind to it.
If you want to know how the left, how campuses got so radical and how America became so divided, the Vietnam War was what did it. All of a sudden, you could be plucked out of your nice American life and sent to die in a jungle in Southeast Asia for a war that was utterly futile on behalf of a corrupt government that nobody supported. You might just get killed. That's enough to radicalize anyone. And so the radical left were able to spread like a virus throughout America because they were on the side of you not getting your head shot off in some godforsaken hellhole half a world away. The very fact that we kept the draft after World War II is an outrage against American liberty.
Well, I think, John, think about
that. The draft is one step ahead of slavery. You are being forced on penalty of imprisonment to do something you don't want to do. That should only happen in a grave national emergency, like when they're invading the actual United States. The fact that the Japanese attacked American soil in Pearl Harbor was the justification for introducing the military draft. There was no excuse for keeping it after 1945 and drafting men to fight in Korea and drafting men to fight in Vietnam. Here's a good test. If a war is not important enough that Americans will volunteer to fight in it, then it's not a war worth fighting. And you certainly have no right to draft, to enslave Americans and send them over to fight on foreign shores because some elite, some Yale graduates, some people like McGeorge Bundy decide it would be in our geopolitical interests. So it was elites trying to pursue their own. They were like, you know, the board game Risk. Apparently, George W. Bush used to play it obsessively in the dorms at Yale. These elites were playing Risk with real American soldiers.
And it again, what's fascinating to me is how they brilliantly divide left versus right. And so they get people taking sides. Meanwhile, all along, you know, the Uniparty, because when you're talking about these elite figures, McGeorge Bundy, George Bush Sr., McNamara, whoever, LBJ, Hoover, it's so fascinating to me how they were the elites. They were the power. They were in the center of all of this, manipulating everything. I mean, we know that LBJ was, he was no liberal. He was an incredible racist. So it's complicated, folks, but it's worth the trouble. We're going to come back to continue talking with John Zmirak. I want to remind you, please subscribe to our newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. At the bottom of the page, because we've got lots more things that we want to share with you. Cannot do it on the program. ericmetaxas.com. We'll be right back. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there, but did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast.
I'm talking to John Zmirak. What more do you need to know, John?
So what I've been unfolding is, on the one hand, it sounds like a bunch of conspiracy theories. What kind of nut job is this? We all know conspiracy theories aren't true, right? The very term conspiracy theory was invented as propaganda by the CIA in order to dismiss people who criticize the Warren Commission. They invented the term conspiracy theory and leaked it to friendly journalists. And let's remember, the CIA had thousands of journalists on the payroll throughout the Cold War, supposedly to fight communism. But in fact, they ended up just basically doing the dirty work of whoever was in power in the White House. Conspiracy theories. Well, there are false conspiracy theories, like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which was invented in like 1900 by a bigoted Russian who hated the Jews, who blamed Jews for all the problems of modern life and said that 13 rabbis gathered in a cemetery in Prague and planned the destruction of Western civilization. And their plan unfolded and created World War I and communism. Now, when this thing was released, it was taken very seriously. Winston Churchill said, we must investigate this to see if it is true. I mean, it was taken seriously, and it was utterly false. And in fact, we know what novel it was plagiarized from, okay? Another conspiracy theory that is not true is the 1619 Project. It's basically the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, but instead of Jews, the villains are white people. White slave owners in 1619 settled America in order to make it a big slave colony. And the American founders in 1776 declared independence because they were afraid George III was going to free the slaves. Now, George III never freed any slaves, showed no signs of wanting to free the slaves. It's completely made up, but it's a great tool for the New York Times and second-rate academics who got their jobs through affirmative action to promote themselves and to demonize our founders and our political system. They want to demonize it because it puts barriers on their power. They want to trash the Constitution because it's a barrier to them controlling you and me and controlling our children, taking our guns, closing our churches, forcibly vaccinating us, telling us how we can work, taking away our gas stoves, opening the borders to flood the country with docile campesinos from foreign countries who don't have any connection to our history and don't know our system, who are used to socialism and dictatorship, who they think will be docile and will follow orders and vote as they are told.
And you know what, John? This is the history of corruption. In other words, this has happened to immigrants throughout American history. If you come here now, you know, if you come over the southern border, there are people there to tell you how to think, how to vote, what to do. And if you don't play ball, you're in big trouble. So you come under the thumb of these powerful groups, drug cartels, you name it. But we had that in this country, of course. The Irish came over. As soon as they get off the boat, there's somebody from Tammany Hall to tell them, here's what you're going to do. We're going to protect you. It's no different than the mafia, which also did this to the Italian immigrants when they came off the boat. We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you, you're going to get a job here. I'm going to give you a job here. If you don't play the ball, you don't eat. This is a battle we've been fighting in this country. And immigration, obviously, is one of those places where there's room for evil to get in. They get in and they say, you know what? When these people get off the boat, they're going to work for us. They're not going to buy into the American dream and the vision. We don't want them to be educated so that they can have freedom. We want them to play ball and become part of our scheme to make money and to keep power. So this story gets told over and over and over.
But again, this is not some wild conspiracy theory. This is the Christian doctrine of original sin as applied to government. By default, governments tend to be corrupt. By default, people with power tend to abuse it. By default, elites tend to act in a conspiratorial fashion unless there's someone there to stop them. This is what happens. It happened in the Italian Renaissance. It happened in the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation and the French Revolution. It is what people do. It's like dogs in a butcher shop. Men, when they can grab power, they will, unless you have them on a leash. Our American system was designed to leash the dog to keep it from jumping on the counter and eating all the lamb chops. The left wants to take away the leash because they want the lamb chops. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a believer in original sin, just like our founders. And I believe our system of government must control the people in power. We now live in a dystopian nightmare where a few people in a few corporations, in collusion with the FBI and the World Health Organization, can censor our speech about our medical future. I am permanently banned from Twitter. And I don't even know why. And it was done in secret and there's no appeal. I will never be on Twitter again. And I don't even know what I did because somebody wrote an algorithm to suit someone at the FBI.
I mean, honestly, this is what I'm saying is like the fact that we're talking about this, the fact that it has, it's effectively come to a head. We've flushed the birds from the bushes and we can now see what is going on. And I think this is a good sign in a sense that things have boiled over to where people like Tucker Carlson are talking about this. We're talking about this and Americans are waking up to what we have been silently moving along with through the decades. It's finally boiled over largely because of the advent of Donald Trump. And we're in a place now where we can talk about this. And John, I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're any kind of a believer, if you're any kind of a Christian, for sure, you have to reckon with this thing called evil. Evil is not bad. It is satanic evil. It has existed since our forefathers ate the fruit in the garden. Evil has entered in, and we've been so blessed in America that we kind of pretend like, well, we have bad stuff, but we don't have evil. When people are killing people, when COVID patients are dying because of decisions made by elites, we've really never seen this before. And we need to understand, yes, this has been happening. Yes, this is real. Yes, it is evil. And ultimately, it has a spiritual solution. But we'll talk more, talking to John Smirak, final segment. Hang on. Folks, welcome back. Final segment with John Smirak. And listen, if you promise to go to stream.org or to my Twitter feed and share John's article, we can move on to something humorous and fun. John and I often talk about our dads. His dad has passed, but my dad is 95 years old. And in my book, Fish Out of Water, I tell many stories about my dad, really out of my love for him. But some of them are just absolutely hilarious. John, I know you wanted to share something about your dad.
What brings this to mind is as we're trying to take this show, Eric keeps getting calls from his dad and going and yelling at him in Greek. I'm trying to do a radio show. I wish my dad would appear to, but his ghosts would appear to me while I'm trying to do the show. But my dad grew up in the Great Depression. And one thing I learned from him is if you pass a pile of furniture on the street, of course, you have to look at it to see if any of it, you know, if you should bring it into your house. It went about 10, 15 years ago, I moved into the next apartment building from my dad on the same street in Astoria, Queens. And I remember going to work and seeing this plastic lamp. It looked like something from an Italian restaurant in a mafia movie. It's one of those things with the oil, where the oil travels on the plastic.
That's a lava lamp.
Well, no, because it's outside. It's like it's not the oil travels on these strings, these little dots of oil. It's supposed to look fancy schmancy.
Actually, I don't know this. This is sounds
fancy.
Yeah,
like, but it was and it was broken. OK, a broken plastic lamp from a mafia movie restaurant. And I go, oh, God, that's hideous. I come home. It's on my coffee table with no explanation. My father saw it. He had the key to my apartment. And he put it on my coffee table.
Right. Holy cow.
Without saying anything, I just take it and put it back in the garbage the same day. I come back from work and it is back on the coffee table.
Now that is next level crazy.
Now
that is very funny.
At this point, I'm hoping it's my father and not some ancestral curse that now the lamp has found me and it will follow me for the rest of my life. I'm like, God, I hope this is Dad. I hope there's a human explanation. I'm like, Dad, the lamp. He said, yeah, it looks perfect. Looks right in your apartment. If you look back, this is a background for my old apartment in Astoria. He said, yeah, it looks perfect, like a Turkish bordello. I said, Dad, it's a piece of crap. It's broken. I'm throwing it out again. Don't put it back in the apartment. Well, about a couple of years later, my father dies, and I organize his wake, And I get everybody to say the rosary for his soul. And after that, I have to give the eulogy. So I tell this story about the lamp, the magic lamp. And I say, so all of you here have come to honor my father's memory and pray for him. I just want you to do one thing for him. If you pass a pile of trash on the street, go take some of it home. It's what Dad would have wanted.
And it's so true. Listen, I got a lot of stories like this with my father. I don't want to tell them now, but the point is, I get it. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening right now. They get it. Unbelievable.
I got this. Wait. Did your father, when you went to a restaurant, just take all the sugar packets and put them in his pocket?
Well, I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that because my father's still among us. Yeah. But no, my father, I remember, I'll say this briefly just so you know. We because we lived in the suburbs, we didn't pass furniture on the sidewalk, right? I mean, we lived in Connecticut. But one weekend, coming home from church, he spotted a ton of leaves in the leaf bags. They had been raked up and put in bags in front of the Miller's house. And he made us stop and pull over, and my brother and I, in our Sunday clothes, take the leaf bags, put them in the trunk because he needed them for the compost pile. He wanted more leaves. Our leaves weren't enough. We had to get the leaves of neighbors, and my brother and I died of embarrassment, but actually we're still alive, so it worked out. John Zmierak, we love you. Thank you, folks.
Thank you,
go to stream.org. Keep listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.